You are listening to a podcast of Slovnaft Company.
Hello, my name is Eva Lakisova, and today there's with me Andrei Juriga. As you might know already, with Andrei we are recording podcasts on emotions. Hello, I welcome in my studio in Slovnaft.
Hi everyone, it's good to be back.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And I was mentioning already in our first podcast that we were basically selecting these emotions according to a key. According to that what our colleagues, mostly managers who we asked, named as the most dominant emotions in their recent lives. And for the sake of keep it simple, we told about negative and positive emotions, yeah, right? Even if we know already by now that none of the emotions is really negative or really positive, so they are rather natural. Still, for the sake of business, we kept it so. And when we were talking about the so-called positive emotions, you had a very good idea, Andrei. And maybe you can tell me more about this idea.
Let's see if I can recall the idea. So there was this question about those, I quote, positive emotions and how dominant they are in the life of our respondents. And so, of course, we saw some top three, top five most dominant positive emotions, and then there was the bottom part of the list, right? So those positive emotions that don't appear as much in the life of our respondents. And I remember as we were going through the results from the survey, we were talking about those top few positive emotions, and then I said, why don't we talk about those bottom few emotions, because it means that these are emotions perceived as positive emotions, but for some reason people feel, the respondents feel, that either they don't feel them as often or they don't know how to access those, and maybe they would love to.
Yeah, maybe they actually do have those emotions, but they can't name it.
Absolutely, right. And as we said in the previous episode, there is a range of 200 plus emotions, and we all have access to all those emotions, but some of those emotions appear more often than the others in our life. So maybe in the first episode we were talking about uncertainty, and if you ask someone how often does uncertainty appear in their life, they would say almost never, while someone else would say all the time, right?
Yeah. So for today, as per this key, we have picked a beautiful emotion of humility. At least it's beautiful for me. I don't know what you think about it. Are you humble?
I am humble. And
can you prove that?
Yes. Let me tell you how I see humility. What's my definition of humility from the ontological perspective? And again, I say it means existential perspective, right? And before I do that, actually, let me say that it's true that when you ask 10 people, 10 different people about their understanding of humility, you might arrive to 10 very different perceptions of humility, because there are so many elements that condition how we see the emotion of humility. I remember some times ago I was facilitating a workshop on humility, actually, and we had a group of managers, both male and female. And as we were speaking about this emotion of humility, the male managers were talking about humility as a strength, and they said it's a beautiful emotion to have, and it's an important emotion for any leader to have. And then those female managers raised their hand and they said, well, that's interesting, because we don't see that way. We agree with you that it's important to be humble, but our experience is that when we show us being humble at a workplace, it's perceived as a weakness. And so we were asked not to be as humble. We should be braver. We should be prouder, and so on. So somehow our male colleagues, they were suggesting that we should be less humble. So all of a sudden we have this gender interpretation behind humility. Then there is a strong cultural interpretation of humility. So there are different cultures with different perception of what it means to be humble. For example, in the US context, humility is perceived really as something rather weaker, because there is a strong value, cultural value in the United States, which is heroism. So it's important to appear as a hero, to be brave, to demonstrate this can-do attitude all the time. But humility means like, oh, I'm weak. And so that would be cultural US cultural interpretation of humility. But if you go to the Asian region, humility, people are raised towards humility. It's one of the core cultural values in Asian societies. And again, I remember once I was giving a speech about cultural intelligence in California, in a university, and as we were speaking about cultural intelligence, what it is, what is it not, we had participants from South Korea, China, and Japan, and they raised the hand and they said, well, it's very difficult for us to understand the concept of intelligence. We don't use it in our part of the world, because to us, intelligence sounds like something very external that we can't control and develop. And I said, oh, that's interesting. So how would you define what I name intelligence? And they said, we call it humility.
Okay.
And so there are very different interpretation of this same emotion, either gender interpretation or cultural interpretation. But again, when we look at the existential interpretation of humility, it comes from the Latin word humilis. And humilis in Latin means of the ground or of the earth, because humus in Latin means earth or soil, the ground. So when we say humility, it means on the ground or to be grounded. So in the first episode, we were talking about three elements of every single emotion. We talked about the story around the emotion. We talk about purpose and the impulse of the emotion. So why don't we discuss humility through the perspective of these three elements? So what would be the context or the story behind humility? It's I know who I am and I know who I am not. I know what I can do and I know what I cannot do. So that's the story, that's the purpose of humility, to keep us grounded. So the reason we've been given this emotion to our emotional repertoire is to keep us grounded, on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And the impulse, so how do we act when we feel humble in the moment, is we recognize and acknowledge our limits. And so it's very neutral interpretation if you think of it. It's neither bad or good, it is what it is. I know who I am. And I don't claim to be something more or less. So that's what we mean by being humble. I recognize my limits. I know what I can achieve and I know what I cannot achieve. I see my limits.
Interesting. And I think that the most of us is very much so if the feeling when someone is not you know, like humble. It's very much linked to greed or this kind of emotions or this kind of characteristics, let's call them like that. And but actually, according to what you are saying, what I can see that once again, this being humble can have two directions, right? So I can be humble towards myself, meaning that I know my limits, I know my borders, so I don't push myself to a situation where I really cannot, you know, just, of course, yeah, it's okay to go out of the comfort zone, but well, like I should know my limits and I should not get totally tired or totally, you know, into a stage which is not serving me. But then there's another aspect, and that's like I'm humble towards the exterior, so towards my surrounding, towards the people mm-hmm. who I'm with. And I'm just thinking that that how to perceive it, or how to, you know, how to act on, how to express, or what are those little tiny notes where you can actually understand that, ah, okay, so this person is humble.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful question, and I think it requires a really good level of emotional literacy so you can understand and decode if actually any emotion is serving you in that moment. Is it helping me right now to be humble, or is it rather a roadblocker in this situation? And so we said that no emotion is either bad or good, they are neutral, and it all depends on the context. So let me give you an example of a situation when humility might have a negative impact or implication on my life or on this situation, and another example of a situation where it's actually serving me. So I'm a facilitator, I'm an educator, so all the time I'm standing in front of the audience and I'm getting plenty of questions from my participants. And I remember many years ago when I started working as an educator, I'm a planner, so I didn't know how to navigate my emotion of uncertainty, so I want to prepare for every single question. And so I was planning for questions, which was totally out of my control, because how can you decide for your audience what they will ask and they won't ask, right? But what I was doing to prepare myself is, okay, what if they ask this question? What about that question? How would I respond, and so on? And I was doing that because it was bringing me this comfort, right? We discussed that in the previous episode. But what happened in reality, I was standing there in the workshop, in the training, and all of a sudden I got a question for which I wasn't prepared and I wasn't ready. It made me nervous, frustrated, I didn't know how to answer, I tried to improvise because my interpretation of being an educator meant to have answers for everything. But it's not humble. Humility, understanding humility from this perspective as we described it a moment ago, helped me to understand that it is okay at some point to say, I don't know, I don't have answer for this because I have my limits, I don't know it all. And I remember when I said it for the first time, I was so scared how people would react to that, because they look up to me as the educator, expecting me to have answers and not to say, I don't know, I don't have answer for this. So I was very curious how they would react the first time when I said, I don't really know how to answer this. And when I said that, they say, okay, that's fine. People are okay when we say that we have certain limits. Let me give you another example. Many years ago, I used to work as an HR business partner in a multinational organization, but I moved there from sales. So my background is in sales, and I moved to HR, and within the first 2 weeks in HR, I got a meeting invitation from a vice president of the company I was working for, who was flying in from Austin, Texas to Bratislava, and he scheduled a meeting with me because I was his local HR contact. He had no clue that I was new, that I had 2 weeks experience with HR. So we are sitting here, me and the vice president, and he was talking about beautiful, huge project, how to close some teams in Scotland, Netherlands, and move them to Slovakia. And so he asked me, how are we going to do that? So what is the legislation in Scotland and Netherlands? What is the legislation in Slovakia? Where are we going to find the right talent in Slovakia? Which universities produce these kind of talents? Who are the competitors? What are the salary ranges for these kind of positions? And I was looking at him, and I didn't know what to say. I had zero clue. So I just said, you know what? I'm very new to HR. Actually, I've been in HR for 2 weeks only, and I have no idea what we are talking about here. But I know many people with plenty of HR experience, and I will collect all your questions. I will talk to my people and get back to you with all the answer. Is that okay for you? He was looking at me confused for a millisecond, and then he started laughing and he said, you know what? I appreciate your humility, because that was one of the most humble answers I ever got. So thank you for that, but please do collect the answers and come back to me. So I realized in that moment that it is okay, it is acceptable by people when you demonstrate humility. But then when we talk about situations where humility is not serving you anymore, is when you recognize your limits on one hand, but you don't see a way how to expand the limits. So sometimes people get too comfortable in their humility and they feel, well, I'm sorry, if I can't do much more, these are my limits. There is nothing more I can offer you. This is who I am. There is nothing else. Right? So sometimes people try to misuse the moment of humility and say, like, these are my limits, I cannot do much more. So if you try to assign me to a new project, I'm very humble here, Eva, I cannot really help, right? So we need, as managers, we need to recognize when someone is trying to fake the humility, we call it actually fake humility, or when someone just doesn't see a way how to expand their limits.
Okay, now I was just thinking, yeah, it's a very, very tangible and good examples of both. However, I was just thinking that actually when you, and maybe we can this link to another emotion, because when you say no, in a way sorry, I don't know the answer, or sorry, like this is over my limit, isn't it just like liberating? You know, it's such a liberating, at least for me, it's such a liberating emotion. And it calls for authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it links. Maybe you can add to it something, or maybe you can correct.
Absolutely. It's very much linked to the moment or the feeling of being authentic. Because if we try to have answers for every situation, but we don't, we are not authentic, we are improvising, maybe we are lying even, right? Just to make sure that we appear as knowledgeable, as we have control over the situation. But it is authentic and humble to say, well, I don't have the answer for this. I can learn, I can study, I can give me time and I will look for the information, but right now, this is my limit. So it is very liberating and it helps you to be authentic. And by the way, as we speak about authenticity, that's one of the key psychological human needs. Every individual needs to feel authentic, because authenticity goes hand in hand with another psychological need, which is the need for attachment. And very often, if we feel that we cannot be authentic enough, the attachment to the person who doesn't allow us to be authentic is suffering.
And we often go to denial.
Yeah, we either go to denial, we detach from the others because we feel like, I don't want to be attached to someone who doesn't allow me to be authentic. Or we say, it's so important to me to get attached to this person that I stop being who I really am. So I attach to someone else, but I detach from myself.
I don't know, maybe my imagination is not the best, but anyways, I think in such situation, at one point you might feel anger, don't you? Because it's just like if you are not authentic, because you think that the other person doesn't let you be, while, by the way, in brackets, it's totally your decision whether you are or not, right? Then you might feel anger towards the other person because you are, you know, just kind of reflecting your emotion towards that person. Or if you, on the other hand, if you decide to give up a part of yourself and just to, you know, to compromise, then this anger might pop up towards yourself, your own identity, which is neither something.
And it can be anger, it can be frustration, it can be anxiety, it can be any of these. But not only that, it's not only about emotional reaction to not being allowed to be myself, but it can lead to depression actually. Because what does it mean to be depressed? The word depression comes from depressing, to push down something. What are we pushing down? We are pushing down who we are. We are pushing down our emotions.
Yeah.
So that's the source of depression. So yes, humility is this emotion that helps us to be grounded in the reality and to say, this is who I am and this is who I am not. And so if we bring in this very neutral interpretation of humility, all of a sudden, it's not in contrast to pride as another emotion, because very often in some cultures or some people, they see that, okay, I'm either proud or humble, but you can be both. Because defining humility as we just did it, right, it's this is who I am and these are my limits, I can still be proud of my achievements. I can achieve something and say humbly, I am proud of my success and achievement without pretending to be someone else who I'm not.
Well, I would be already proud if I would see my limits all the time, you know. So, don't go there, that's over your power, perhaps.
Yeah.
Andrei, thank you very much. Thank you for this. I wanted to call it intro, but actually it's better than an intro, and it was deeper than an intro. So to this deep introduction into the question of humility, and I'm especially happy about that. In this podcast, we were able to see that how much emotions are linked to one another, how much they connect, and so we have been naming here for like 5-ish, 6-ish emotions.
Yeah.
So I believe that it's worth to learn to name them, to recognize them, and I pretty much hope that these podcasts are serving our colleagues and to anyone who is listening to it, serving to develop this emotional literacy in what you were mentioning. So thank you very much for your knowledge.
Thank you again for having me.